Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM in Las Vegas. A cloudy, gloomy Las Vegas, a little windy here, still no rain. We've had one day of rain, I think, in almost 300 and some days. It's crazy. But again, our show always powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash, injury attorneys. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Also, you can be part of the show. We'd love to get your calls, Raider Nation. A lot going on, not just a little bit in the Raider Nation world, but also in the sports world that we'll get to today. Of course, the voting and the final selling of the Hall of Fame induction, I should say voting for today. Tom Flores on that docket. I have on good authority he's going to get in. I'm not really worried about it. I know Raider Nation, until it happens, you're going to be a little bit nervous about it. I am too a bit. It's so well-deserving. It's a no-brainer. He's the only coach up. You heard in JT's show him talking a lot about it, too, and I echo his sentiments. Until it actually happens, until that Super Bowl weekend when we see his name called there and we find out exactly what's going on, we're all going to be kind of waiting on bated breath. But I have no doubt that he's going to be in. I can't think of any other reason why he wouldn't be. And I know past indications of great Raiders being held out of the Hall of Fame has all of you nervous, and I would be too. But at the same time, I really believe, and I know I've heard from several folks, and I know my partner Q Myers and I will talk about it later in the show when he joins me in the second hour, specifically about Tom Flores. But today I want to hear from you guys too about Tom Flores, what he means to you, what he's meant to the Raiders. This franchise has so many great people associated with it, many of them in the Hall of Fame, many of them still waiting, some of them posthumously. It's the way it goes. It's a Tuesday. I'm trying to get my mouth working. But here you go. So you know, you have Cliff Branch. You have these guys who should be in the Hall of Fame, and they're not. But I think Tom Flores is going to break that. He's going to go in along with Charles Woodson this year, and that's going to be a very, very good thing for Raider Nation. But give me a call. Tell me what you think. 702-365-9200. Also have another thing I'm going to talk to you about in a minute. I tweeted out just before the show, maybe a half hour before, a rendering of the new Raiders-themed restaurant at the M Resort and Spa and Casino here in Las Vegas. It's actually in Henderson, not too far from my house, not too far from the Raiders' headquarters and practice facility, their performance facility. That is under construction. It's supposed to be open for next season. Take a look at the picture, but it was funny because I had Todd, who's a Raider fan down in San Diego, goes by the handle on Twitter as Canton, C-A-N-T-O-N, dog. People were asking, as Kenny King Jr., of course, many of you Raider fans know who Kenny King's father is, but Kenny King Jr. also is a popular YouTube channel, does some things with Raider Cody. He talked about, and he said, please tell me drinks and entrees will be named after Raiders legends and legendary players, to which Todd responded with some examples. Right? So I want to hear your examples. If you were in charge of the new Raiders restaurant at the M Resort, which looks killer, so go look at my Twitter handle, at LVGully, G-U-L-L-Y. Take a look at it. Look at the picture. But Todd had some recommendations. Here's what he had. And so I want you guys to call in 702-365-9200 if you have some good ideas for drinks or perhaps entrees or desserts named after famous Raiders or players. So Todd had these suggestions. I'm going to read these to you, and you can follow him again, at CantonDog on Twitter. He says, Sea of Hands is fish and chips. That's not bad. Holy Roller is unlimited garlic rolls with your meal. Ghost to the Post is a tall milkshake in a pylon glass. I thought that was pretty cool. And they put Tuck Rule on the menu, and if you order the Tuck Rule, you immediately get kicked out of the restaurant. I thought that was kind of funny. My suggestion, here was my contribution to all of that, was I said, well, if you're going to do that, then do you have a dessert called Spider 2Y Banana Split? right? Okay, come on, give me some credit. I thought that was a pretty good one. But I'd love to hear you guys tell me what you think or what names you might give some of these. 702-365-9200, get on the air and I'll put you on. But also, coming up on the show today, as he does every Tuesday, my good friend and a great reporter, Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas will join us. We'll talk about the NFL playoffs. We'll talk a little bit about Raider football too, as well as Tom Flores, obviously with the final selection and voting and cases being made today at the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. It's subject we want to talk about, and we want to make sure you hear. I mean, what did Tom Flores mean to you? Some of the younger fans who weren't around when he was coaching, you know, tell me what you know about him, what you appreciate about him. I know a lot of you have met Coach Flores at games and, of course, have heard him on the radio as he's done analyst work for the Raiders radio network at times. And so I'd like to hear from you on that one as well. We'll also talk about the news of the day. I'll give you my winners and losers in the world of sports today here in this first segment. Jesse will be at the bottom of the hour. Then at the top of the next hour, Q Myers, my co-host, my usual co-host, will join me. And we're going to talk about the Eric Bieniemy situation and diversity hiring. I know it's a subject we've talked a lot about. It's dominating the news. There's a lot of media members who are really incensed about what they believe is going on with the hiring of head coaches. And Eric Bieniemy just is the latest example of that. So we're going to talk about that. And then the Q-tip segment, Q's got some interesting things coming up. And then we'll close the show, as we usually do, Tuesday through Friday, talking to Vinny Bonsignor. Of course, he is the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal covering the Raiders. Great NFL, longtime NFL writer. And he's connected in the know about most everything. So we'll talk to him about the day's happenings in the NFL and also the Raiders, some question marks coming up. There's already some roster moves being made in the NFL. We'll talk about some of those, as some key marquee players, including one running back who was released today. We'll talk about that a little later as well. But as we jump into this one, I want to remind you that today is a significant anniversary in Raider Nation history. I don't know if you know this, but my good friend, AFL Godfather on Twitter, who is, to me, the online historian for the Raiders, does such a great job of making sure no one forgets about the history of the Raiders, all the players, and of course, 1L Davis, tweeted out about today's anniversary, which I had planned on talking about anyway, which was January 19th, 2003, 18 years ago today, the last time the Raiders won the AFC Championship with a 41-24 win over the Houston Texans, the Titans, the Tennessee Titans, quarterback Rich Gannon, 3 touchdowns in that game. And the thing he pointed out that I in my reading, I did not discover because I didn't go back and look at the box score from the game. But we talk about it a lot. I don't try to overemphasize it like some fans do. But we've had several shows. I've had to guest on the Ethical Skeptic about the disparity in penalties called on the Raiders, specifically at key times. I didn't realize in that AFC Championship game back in 2003, the last time the Raiders won and went to the Super Bowl, they had 14 penalties for 127 yards. 14 penalties, 127 yards, and they still won 41-24. That shows you that the Raiders had to overcome a third opponent on the field that day, right? I mean, the referees, 14 penalties, 127 yards against, you know, one of the better Raider teams in history is incredible. And so, yeah, so when you talk about the referees and some of the bias against the Raiders, especially when they're good, that is something that I did not know about that game. Do you remember that game? Were you around? Were you a cognizant member of Raider Nation? Meaning, were you old enough? Do you remember the game? Where were you watching that game? I'd love to hear those stories too. 702-365-9200 is the number on that one. So we'll get to that. The phone lines are open, so we'll get you on the air. If you call in, you talk to Chris when you call in. He'll get your name, where you're from, and we'll get you on there. All right. We are now going to go into the segment I do every day now at the top of the show. That is, of course, in sports, there's always winners and losers. Here's my winners and losers for the last 24 hours.
In life and sports, not everyone gets it right. The line between brilliance and ignorance is a fine one. And Scott is here to call them out. It's time for today's winners and losers.
All right, my big winner today, one of them, and we're going to talk about the coaching situation and the hires, minority hiring in the NFL, specifically the lightning rod right now, which is Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, who's interviewed for jobs and still has not been selected as a head coach in the NFL. But a big winner today, Terry Fontenot. And not just because he's African-American, but Terry Fontenot, one of the good guys in the NFL, of course, played for the New Orleans Saints, longtime front office executive. He helped create that roster and stability with Sean Payton. He is now the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, and that was a great hire. He was one of those guys who was rumored to get a job, one of the GM opening jobs, and certainly staying in that division. He knows the division well, and now he's going down to Atlanta, and so he is my winner for today. And Terry Fontenot, I mean, I remember him playing and enjoyed watching him as a player, but he did so much to stabilize that New Orleans franchise in that front office and worked hard on the roster and keeping that roster competitive. Now, of course, the Saints have not had a great record on the field in the playoffs. Of course, they have the one Super Bowl with Drew Brees, who's set to retire after his loss this past weekend. But I'll tell you that Terry Fontenot is one of those guys. I think he's going to do really good things in Atlanta. The matter of fact is going to be, is he going to tear that thing down? Is he going to supplement? What's he going to do? He's got a lot of decisions to make, but a good man, and he is my winner for today. My loser for today, and if you've been asleep and haven't paid attention to the sports news, this one's in the world of baseball, because I cannot believe what people do with their phones, okay? If you didn't hear the story, the New York Mets fired general manager Jared Porter. Jared Porter had been the GM of the Mets, okay, for 30 or some days, okay? So what he does is he decides, he meets a reporter in 2016 while working for the Chicago Cubs in their front office. I think he was in charge of scouting there. He meets this reporter, a young female, attractive female apparently. I haven't seen pictures of her. It doesn't really matter. He starts sending her messages. Of course, he opens it up as a dialogue of, hey, you know, I can be a source for you. We can start this. And then he decides that he's going to start sending her explicit, unsolicited text and images, including those of his nether regions. Okay. So we remember going back to Brett Favre, right, when he sent some pictures like this. But my point here is, number one, they terminated him as they should have. The guy's a creep. Sending messages unsolicited to a woman. Listen, it's already difficult for women to get the respect that they deserve in the professional setting, often in sports. Okay. And this guy decides he's going to send pictures of his manhood to this woman who won't answer him, by the way. She won't answer him at this point, and he continues to send pictures. Then he's asked about it. He lies, and then he lies upon his lies by saying, oh, well, that wasn't really me. That was just a picture I took off the internet. So what? That doesn't make it better. Because you send a picture of someone else's schlong, it's okay for you to do this? So anyway, he gets out of his job. He's done, okay? ESPN gets the text messages, gets the pictures from this woman who has anonymity. And usually I'm not a huge proponent of anonymous things, but I will tell you that in this case, apparently this woman was from a foreign country. She's now gone back to her home country and gave this all up to ESPN, who reported this. But 41 years old and your career is over because you can't control yourself. And the fact that people do this, I mean, I've seen it happen in private lives of other people, not people in sports or entertainment. And I just can't believe that you think, if you're going to do this, if you're that creepy, that you're going to send this to somebody and it's going to remain private somehow? Like, these pictures of you will never find their way, especially if you're in sports or entertainment or corporate, the corporate world. Let's say you work for a big company. Do you honestly think that that's okay, number one? Number two, you honestly think that that now that you've sent that to that person, that they can't keep it and then forever use it against you, or that it will come back to haunt you? There's just no room for this. You know, I have a daughter. I'm the father of a daughter. And I can't believe that a young woman was subjected to this kind of behavior. And this is the kind of thing that you just can't accept anymore. And clearly, the Mets didn't. And good for them. If this happened in the NFL, NBA, it doesn't matter where it happens. You can't do this. It's a professional work environment. You are a representative of your team, of your company. And in this case, Jared Porter, at 41 years old, he's done. He's done. I don't know where he's going to find a job. It's not my concern. I mean, if you're stupid enough to do something like this, then that's what happens. But, I mean, I got to give the Mets kudos for being quick and acting on it. The Cubs said they knew nothing about it from the time, which I can believe because it didn't surface until now. But again, folks, when you send people things on your phone, including text messages, they're not private. That person can take it. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know that person down the line, you have a disagreement with them, and if you said something stupid, then it's going to be public. And so now this guy, his whole entire career is ruined, and good, because he sexually harassed a woman. I mean, why would someone think sending a picture of your crotch is a good idea? Like somehow this woman who doesn't answer you is now going to answer you because you sent her a picture of your pants, and then you sent her a picture with no pants? I mean, come on. I mean, it blows my mind that people think this. It really does, because I don't understand. Look, we all make mistakes. We all do think stupid things when we're younger, but this is way over the top, and I can't believe it. And I know you're going to hear a lot about it in the world of sports, and I know we're here to talk about football. We're here to talk about the Raiders, but this is a big story in sports, and so I had to bring it up. The other thing, you know, we talked yesterday, the Raiders tight end coach Frank Smith is leaving to join rival Los Angeles, the Chargers. Okay, so Gus Bradley and two Charger coaches come to the Raiders, so Frank Smith decides, hey, I'm going to go down and coach for the Chargers. Right? So he's now gone, which is a big loss. I mean, it really is. And we talked about yesterday, could Jason Witten be that? But then you heard Jason Witten's name floated for the Tennessee coaching job, which I can't believe would happen. I mean, Jason Witten's a good man, amazing player, really good influence in the Raiders locker room, but he doesn't have head coaching experience, and you're going to hire him to coach an SEC program? I just don't see that happening. I think it'd be a greater fit if John Gruden thinks he's ready to maybe take over that spot, the tight ends position, since Frank Smith is going to the Chargers. But, you know, that's the NFL. Guys leave. They have other opportunities for whatever reason. He gets the chance to go there too. But Smith was huge for his work with tight end Darren Waller and, of course, Foster Moreau. And he will be missed. And I know Raider fans are a little bummed to see him go. All right. We're going to go on the phone lines. It's Steven, our good man in New Orleans. Steven, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, Scott. How are you, buddy?
Good, my friend. How you doing? How you feeling?
Good, good, good. So Frank Smith is leaving, but, you know, sometimes change isn't always bad either. I mean, he's shared the talents he has. Mm-hmm. I believe the tight ends we have probably have absorbed that. And they'll get a new voice, and that new voice might bring some juice that the other ones don't. You never know. I mean, you know, Tim Brown once said that John brings a lot of energy, and sometimes that message starts to fade over time. Mm. His comments, not mine. And so you have to wonder if all these players need some new voices there every now and then that can look at things from a fresh perspective. I mean, in my business, we call that tunnel vision. If I go to my restaurant every day, 7 days a week, trust me, about 20 days in a row, I'm starting to miss stuff I shouldn't be missing. Because yeah. I'm only seeing two things, the front door and the back door. When am I leaving and when can I go home type thing. So I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. You know, just a fun thing for you. I try to bring jokes. It's not really a joke today, but I heard you once tell people, I think, how to pronounce Las Vegas or some kind of effect from there. Can you help my friend Hondo? Nobody from New Orleans ever says New Orleans.
I will note that, and I will tell him. Yeah, for us it's Nevada, the state, because people say right. Nevada. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I knew it was something that you said. If you say it wrong, I'm going to call you out on it. So, yeah, nobody from here ever is in New Orleans. Matter of fact, that's where the little joke Nawlins, yeah. Nawlins, comes from. Because if it was New Orleans, it would be like Ens or something like that. So, just for the fun of it, you know?
Hey, yeah, I will let him know. But, you know, Hondo's from the Midwest, and sometimes they say things a little bit different there. Like, when I was growing up early on in the Midwest, you come out west and they'll call it a restroom. In the Midwest, they call it a washroom.
Right.
Right.
Well, to give you an idea, At one time, I was working with a pizza franchise, and I had to do some training in Ohio. And some employee said, do you want a pop?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, what do you mean? You're going to punch me? We don't call it soda pop here. We call it soft drinks. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and out west, right, they call it soda, you know, so it's you have those regional dialects, but the New Orleans thing, I will let him know. He'll have a good time with that. But your point about Frank Smith, too, the one thing I want to point out, too, there, Stephen, is he leaves to go to the Chargers to become the run game coordinator. So he was the tight ends coach. He was a position coach here, right?
Yeah, so if promotion.
Exactly. And Frank Smith, you know, he's got to look at his career and say, hey, I want to eventually become an offensive coordinator and then maybe a head coach. And if I want to do that, I can't stay stuck in a tight end position. What I have to do is I have to then take the next step. So now he's going to be the run game coordinator in Los Angeles. That gets him on a step to maybe become an offensive coordinator at some point. And so that's progress. And by the way, when guys leave staffs, it's not because they're necessarily unhappy or right, any of that. It's sometimes because it's just the natural progression of your career, especially in coaching. How many coaches did you see start with one team and stay with them their whole career? Never.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you got to think about it. If you're an offensive coordinator, let's say even under a John Gruden or a Sean McVay or a Sean Payton, you're never going to get the respect as a true offensive coordinator for an offensive coordinator for a defensive-minded head coach will. Yeah. So, in essence, it's a good move for him. It's the smart business decision. I mean, you never know how it's going to work out, but it's the smart business decision, and smart people make smart decisions, and I wish him all the best. And who knows? You never know when we don't cross paths with him again on our staff. So,
yeah, he could. I mean, he could in 3 years be back as your offensive coordinator. I mean, you don't know. You just don't know.
That's right.
And that, to the point, I mean, that's the hard. I think that's the hardest thing for fans. And you know, I'm a fan too. And so when I have my teams, like I'm a big Padres fan, which of course the Padres have gone nuts this offseason. But I look at them, and when they make decisions, sometimes as a fan, you look at it from the emotional perspective. And you, oh man, we're losing this guy. It's terrible. But in reality, when you look at it from the business decision or in the terms of your own life, where your own career, doesn't matter what you do for a living, if you got the opportunity to go somewhere where you have an opportunity to make more money, to have more responsibility, you take it. And so I agree with you. I think that's exactly what this is. But Stephen, man, thanks again as always. Hope the restaurant's doing well and you guys are staying healthy.
We are. Thank you. Have a great day, buddy.
All right, buddy. You take care. There's Stephen in New Orleans, one of our great callers here on Raider Nation Radio. But yeah, I mean, look, that's it. He might not be the last one to go, too. I mean, obviously, the defensive side of the ball, they're switching out everybody except for Rob Marinelli. But that's good. You know, it gives the Raiders the opportunity now, as John Gruden said, with the defense to bring in a new voice. And not that there was anything wrong with Frank Smith or the way he coached. He obviously did an excellent job. When you look at the development of the Raiders tight ends, it's crazy. He did a fantastic job, which is why he was in demand. That's the other thing. When somebody does a really good job as a company, and in this case, the Raiders, it's harder to keep them because people around the league sees, oh my gosh, look what Darren Waller did. Comes back from addiction. That personal story is amazing. That's all him, of course, and those that helped him. But then they look at Frank Smith and say, this is the guy. Look what he's done to develop not only Darren Waller, who had the talent, right? And then Foster Moreau, a young guy who comes in and has done really well too. Although he should have been used more in 2020, in my view. But you look at Frank Smith, and if I'm a new head coach somewhere, and I'm putting a staff together, and I know how important tight end is, especially in this division, then I'm looking and saying, okay, who's the best guy right now coaching tight ends? And whatever I need to do, I'm going to go out and get him. That's business, right? And so I think with Frank Smith leaving, we hate to see him go here in Las Vegas, obviously, because he did so well. But you have to be happy for him, too. Yes, be happy for him. And then as soon as the season starts and he's a Charger, then you can hate on the Chargers because they're a division rival, and that's cool. But, you know, it's just like Gus Bradley and those guys coming over from the Chargers to the Raiders. You know, they had an opportunity to do something. Gus Bradley obviously lost his boss. His head coach was fired, and so he was looking for a role anyway, and they luckily found a spot here, and I think that's good. And I still think the Gus Bradley hire, I think all of you are starting to come around on it when you look at that. So that'll be good. All right, we're going to step aside, take our first break of the afternoon. You can get on the phones. We'll take your calls, 702-365-9200. Tell me what you think. I'm also still looking for per my good friend Todd in San Diego, and then, of course, Kenny King Jr., names of dishes for this new Raiders restaurant, themed restaurant at the M Resort here in Henderson. I want to hear names of dishes named after Raider greats, using the food, obviously, the ingredient, desserts or drinks, Raiders greats or great plays in Raiders history. So call in with those, too, at 702-365-9200. This is Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back, Tuesday edition. Silver and Black Today, only on the flagship of your Silver and Black. That's right, the Las Vegas Raiders. This is Scott Gulbranson. Thanks for being with me today. And we are talking all things Raiders, all things sports, all things NFL. And before I went to the break and we were talking about the last segment, if you didn't hear, I have called on you. I just tweeted it out too. I've called on you guys. Call in 702-365-9200. I tweeted a picture, a sneak peek of the Raiders or the Las Vegas' first ever Raiders-themed restaurant under construction at the M Resort in Henderson. And that started a conversation between two folks about what you would name the entrees, desserts, drinks after famous Raider players and plays. So call us 702-365-9200. I want to hear some ideas. Maybe the M is listening. Maybe they'll take your idea and they'll give you a free meal after they name it after you, whatever you suggest. So that'll be fun. So we are here, Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends Sam and Ash, injury attorneys. Visit them at samandashlaw.com because you deserve what is right. We go out on the Newsmaker line, bring in our guest as we do every Tuesday. That is our good friend Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas, covers the Raiders and all Las Vegas sports, which has now transitioned into the Golden Knights. But we still got some football to talk about, right, Jesse?
Yeah. We got a little bit of everything, hockey, but we still got plenty of football rolling right now with everything going down right now before the Super Bowl week starts in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, no doubt. And the Vegas Golden Knights off to a 3-0 start. I was a little concerned watching the game last night that they weren't going to be able to score some goals. And then of course, they came on late there and then they got an empty netter to win 4-2. But, it's amazing. You know, the town, gets electric for the Golden Knights. It just like the Raiders this past season though, Jesse, no fans in the stands. The Golden Knights still have their home ice advantage, it seems. But it's just so crazy not to have that energy that we usually have with a full T-Mobile arena.
Yeah, it really is. And I haven't had the opportunity to actually go in and watch a game just yet this year, the way that our coverage plan has worked out. I will be pretty soon. But from people that I've talked to, it is strange. They're pumping in the crowd noise, but it's not the same. You know, and one thing, the conversation I've had with people is, you know, with Allegiant Stadium, it was brand new. I hadn't experienced it with fans. And it was still very weird not to have Raider Nation in there. But in our minds, we don't know what it would look like in there because we've never seen it at Allegiant before. At T-Mobile, we had, and we've seen how loud it is and how it's one of the best atmospheres in the NHL, if not the best. So I can only imagine what's going to be going through my mind when I get in there and see those seats empty. But at the end of the day, you know, the T-Mobile staff, the people, the production staff, they do a great job. And from what I've heard, they're still putting on a heck of a show, whether there's fans inside or not. So at least for the people that are there, it sounds like it's still pretty good entertainment for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. It's good to have back. Thank God for the Golden Knights because, you know, I'm a big college basketball fan, but college basketball is so disjointed this year with COVID and all that's happened and games being canceled and the schedule all wacky. And so hockey, to have hockey, some sense of normalcy, it reminds me of a little bit the fall with football. So I'm glad to have it. All right, back to football now, Jesse. NFC, AFC championship games coming up this weekend. The Bills at the Chiefs. This game, you know, I'm rooting for the Bills just because I've always liked Josh Allen back to his Mountain West days since we are a Mountain West city. And I've always liked the kid, and they are playing so well. The Chiefs still don't know whether or not Patrick Mahomes will play, although all the indication is, and this is where I have a little bit of a mixed feeling because I feel like the NFL has said they want to address head injuries, but then now you have their marquee player in the league gets a head injury. He was woozy on the sideline. You could see it. He's inside the NFL's concussion protocol, but now the Chiefs are saying that they think he's most, you know, not most likely, they didn't say it that way, but they said that he looks on target to play. And I'm just amazed because we saw last year with players on the Raiders, like Hunter Renfro, who got knocked in the head, should have been a penalty, wasn't called. And he was in the concussion protocol, and he was out for a bit. Can you imagine if he comes out and gets injured again? I mean, this is a case of business and entertainment mixed with someone's, health. And to me, I'm concerned, and I think this game takes on a whole different dynamic if he doesn't go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does, and I agree with you. I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy or anything like that, but do you think the NFL wants any part of Josh Allen versus Chad Henne? Like, no, there's no way they want to see that. So, obviously, I mean, they're going to try and bring him back. And look, you know, there's no fault of the player. Pat Mahomes is going to want to play, too. Like, that's just – he's that dude. Like, he's not going to want to sit out of this
right.
thing, no matter what his situation is like. So, you expect to see him out there, but it is an uneasy thing because, God forbid, if he goes down again with another head issue or something there in this game, then that is a big black eye on the NFL just in this game alone. You know, and that's not something they want to deal with. And obviously we're all – look, it is the Chiefs, but I think we can all agree that we're hoping for the best for him, you know, in this one. But, yeah, it's a weird predicament to be in, and it adds so many more wrinkles into this game if he doesn't play. I think just for – you know, again, health, I hope that he's healthy. I hope he's actually physically able to go and there's no funny business there. But I hope he's able to play just for the simple fact of us being able to see, you know, the best version of both of these teams going against each other.
Yeah, and I heard Brett Favre on NFL radio this morning talking about it. And, you know, he had his share of head injuries. And he said, they asked him straight up, you know, if you're Patrick Mahomes, what's going to go through his mind? He's like, look, Patrick Mahomes is going to play. He might have a headache. He might not be feeling great, but he's like, if it was me, I'm going to do everything I can to play. It's the AFC Championship game. And so the fact that you don't really know how he feels, but you have to trust the player too. It is, after all, his health, and he gets to make the decision. And if he can clear protocol, that's the key, is if he clears protocol, then he'll be out there. But then I have this one. I want to get your reaction to this one, because I usually don't talk about what other hosts say, especially big guys on the national level, unless it's something really interesting. Colin Cowherd came out today and said that if Patrick Mahomes can't play, they should delay the game. Have you? I don't understand the logic there. It's like, are you kidding me? I understand it from an entertainment perspective, which you mentioned, Jesse, which is you don't want Chad Henne versus Josh Allen in the marquee game on the AFC for the entire season. But to me, you don't delay a game for one player. You just never do that.
No, I hadn't heard that. And got to give love to Cowherd. He actually used to work at News 3 back in the day.
Yes.
But that is a horrible take. I mean, think about the storm that would come down on the NFL if they delayed the game because Pat Mahomes didn't play. I mean, Raider Nation and just NFL Nation would lose their minds over that. There's no way they should even consider that. Look, I mean, you know, injuries happen. What are you going to delay injuries any time a top player gets hurt in a game in a regular
right.
season? I mean, you do that, you go down this rabbit hole where when does it end? I think, you know, look, Cowherd gets paid to make some of those outlandish opinions and do things like that. Good on him, because it gets people like us talking about it. But I think there's no chance they should even consider that, and I don't think that they would either.
By the way, I know Raider fans are not big Cowherd fans in general, but back in the day when he did work at Channel 3, by the way, Jesse, and I was interning at Channel 8, I will say this about Colin. He always, when we were at an event, he would always buy, and he wasn't making a lot of money there, you know, when he was younger, he would always buy us food. Like the interns, didn't matter what station you're with, all that stuff. So I always appreciated that about him. But this Bills and Chiefs game, if Patrick Mahomes goes, Jesse, and you look at this quarterback matchup, man, I mean, you have both these games, and we'll start with these two, but Mahomes versus Allen, to me, in Kansas City, unless the weather is bad, this has got all the hallmarks of a big-time shootout, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And even just a sidebar again with some injury stuff, I mean, I heard that Mahomes is dealing with a toe issue. That could impact him even more than the head stuff. So that's another wrinkle that goes into it. But, man, I mean, these two offenses, this has, you know, whatever the over is, I don't know what the number is, but whatever the over is, hammer it. Because I'm sure it's going to hit. I mean, the way these defenses have played. You know, the Bills have had a defense that have come through from time to time, but, man, that Chiefs offense is a different breed, and the weapons that they bring to the table. And then you just throw in the fact of how unbelievable Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have been all year. I mean, that was a match made in heaven, you know, in terms of the trade. Best deep ball receiver in the game right now, and it's hard to argue against that. So, I mean, this one has all the makings of a thriller coming down to the end here. So I'm really excited to watch that game. You know, really both of them look like great games, but this one in particular, you know, I think this is the one, once people started to see, okay, the Bills are on the rise again and they're for real, that's where things got real interesting. You think, okay, this is the one that we all want to see, and luckily we're gifted with it. I'm real curious to see how much the run game factors into it, because at times we've seen the Bills' defense struggle with the run, and that's kind of been a bit of a weakness for them at times.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking to Jesse Merrick, News 3 Las Vegas. You can follow him at JesseNews3LV on Twitter. And that's funny. You know, Buffalo, you have Josh Allen, 24 years old. Mahomes is 25. The second pair of opposing quarterbacks in the history of the AFC Championship game or conference championship games to be under the age of 26. The last time that happened was Vince Ferragamo of the Los Angeles Rams, who's 25, and Doug Williams back in 1979, just to show you how rare it is for two quarterbacks that young to be in a game of that magnitude. But then we go to the senior circuit on the other side, Jesse, and you have, of course, Tom Brady, the old man of the league at 43, and then Aaron Rodgers, who, compared to Tom Brady, is a younger guy because he's 38, but him also kind of on the back end of the career, the back nine, if you will. This one also, too, I just look at this game, and you can never count out Tom Brady. I don't care how you feel about Tom Brady and the Patriots of the past and all that. The guy just gets it done in big games. But then you also have Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, who look to be playing the best football I've seen them play in several years.
They really do. And, I mean, look, full disclosure, and I'm comfortable admitting this, I'm a Bucs fan, have been since the late 90s when I was a kid, you know. So this is going to be an interesting one for me. This is the one that I've got circled on the calendar. And I'm worried going into this game as a Bucs fan to see, you know, this Packers team that is firing on all cylinders. I had a conversation with a friend of mine that's a Packers fan, and he said, he's like, look, both of these teams are clicking. Both of these teams are way different than they were the last time they met. And, yeah, the Bucs were all over him, and I was just actually having a conversation with another media member out here that is also a Bucs fan, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, Tampa was able to confuse Aaron Rodgers a bit, maybe not confuse him, but they were able to catch him sleeping a bit on the blitz last time they played. You got to think that's not going to come into play now. He is going to be ready for it, so Todd Bowles is going to have to get a bit more creative and see what he can do on defense. But man, the way the defense came away after that game over Breeze with three interceptions, four turnovers total on the day, I mean, that was a big day for them. But then you look at the Packers, you've got, Alexander, I'm blanking on his first name, but, shut down corner for him. I mean, and that's not even getting into the quarterbacks. So you bring the quarterbacks into it, and that one just looks like another matchup that's ripe for making a dent in the couch all weekend and just sitting there and taking it all in, because I think we've got a lot of high-level football coming our way.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, even though the Packers seem to be a team that is just rolling, you got to look at the Buccaneers too. I mean, remember, Tom Brady leads all time as far as postseason touchdown passes with 77, but Aaron Rodgers is fourth with 42. But the Buccaneers, they get to the conference championship game the year after they missed the playoffs. There were three teams that earned the berths in championship games after making the failing to qualify for the playoffs. That was Green Bay, San Francisco, and Tennessee. And three teams did it back in 2017. So you can never count out the Buccaneers. I think that's the thing about them. Despite some of their deficiencies, and you heard Bruce Arians talk about it after last game when they asked him why Brady's being more successful, and he actually said, well, I let him do more than he was able to do with Belichick. So it's Tom Brady kind of out there running things from the offense and Bruce Arians ceding some of that power to him, and it seems to be working.
Yeah, it is. And also, too, they've managed to protect him. You know, that's been the big thing. They've a lot of times left, you know, a tight end and a running back in to protect him and give him that time to really do it. Because, look, we all know he's not a mobile quarterback. He's not going to sit back there and, you know, buy himself time and things like that. So they're giving him time to sit back and work and do what he does. I mean, he's Tom Brady. You know, you give that guy time, he's going to rip you apart. And, you know, the other thing is, that, you know, this last weekend they got the run game going with Fournette, you know, and Ronald Jones, and that's a big part of it. And when this Bucs offense is clicking, you know, I don't care who you are. I mean, this is a really dangerous group. Look at the talent that they've got up and down that roster, you know. And so it's kind of been fun to watch throughout the year. And I love Bruce Arians just for the simple fact that he says exactly what's on his mind. He goes after Belichick all the time and things like that, little quips where you're like, whoa, man, you know, that was kind of big at him. But he's not afraid to do it. You know, he calls his shot and he goes for it. Like you said, no risk it, no biscuit. So that's Bruce Arians for you.
Yeah, and you know, anybody who denies, and not because I'm a fan per se, I always respect athletes even if I'm not a fan. Tom Brady, he's going to make his 14th start. 14th in a conference championship game. Second all-time to him is Joe Montana with 7. So, I mean, Brady just knows how to do. He's 9-4 in those games. He's also 2-1 versus Aaron Rodgers when they've played. So it's going to be a fascinating lineup. Okay, so we're going to switch gears a little bit here just for a little bit of Raider stuff, Jesse, before we let you go. Of course, the Raiders are going to have to make some roster decisions. We know about the coming salary cap disaster. The salary cap is going to go down. Teams are going to have to make tough choices. We saw the Baltimore Ravens today release, surprisingly somewhat, Mark Ingram. And I'm not one of those guys who goes around every time a player hits the waiver wire and say, well, should they be on the Raiders? But I think Mark Ingram, I don't know what happened with him there. He lost a little bit of a step after that great year he had last year, and him and Lamar Jackson were on a press tour for the final like 6 weeks of the season because it was a love fest. But he gets released today very early from the Ravens, and I think that's a sign of respect so that he can maybe go sign with somebody. Is that a guy you might give a chance on a team-friendly contract to come in and maybe be one of those backups and spell Josh Jacobs?
Hey, I mean, if they can get him on a team-friendly contract, I think it'd be a great fit. You know, you can't tell me John Gruden wouldn't love a guy like him back there. I don't know if they're going to be able to get him at that price. You know, I mean, he was making $5 million a year with them. I believe it was a three-year, $15 million deal with the Ravens. You know, I've got a feeling that there's going to be teams out there that'll be willing to pay him more than the Raiders would, because let's be honest, you know, the Raiders have money that they've got to allocate into some other areas, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where, you know, you bring Aguilar into question. You know, if you pay a guy like Ingram, if, again, unless they get lucky and get him on that team-friendly deal, you're not going to be able to bring back an Aguilar or make some of the moves that needed to make on that side of the ball. So I would love to see it, because I think that tandem of Ingram and Jacobs would be a lot of fun to watch, and that would be a scary thing for opposing defenses. But I don't know. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, it would be a tough one, but it's fun to think about anyway, especially this time of the year where it's a little slow outside of the playoffs. Yeah. So, Jesse Barrick, News 3 FM. Why do I say that? You know, I used to do a show on News. Did you know News 3 used to have a radio station?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, and I used to do a UNLV show on there back in the day, so I'll have to play you some tapes sometimes. It's funny. But that's why sometimes the FM comes out of me. Jesse Merrick, News 3 Las Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter, at JesseNews3LV. Jesse, we'll talk to you next week and get your reaction to what happened on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the time, man.
All right. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. All right. There you go. Jesse Merrick. One of the really good guys here in the Las Vegas media, as you can tell from visiting with him every week. Good stuff. He knows his sports and all the sports, not just football, which he's great on too since he covers the Raiders daily. But we're lucky to have him here on the show. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to your call, 702-365-9200. A couple names coming in on Twitter. Raider Rick, or at Engel Rick on Twitter, is going nuts with names. He's got now, how about this dish? Plunkett's two-ring burger, two onion rings on top, of course, because he has two Super Bowls, right? He also had, another Twitter says the pillage platter, steak and lobster. And then we have fettuccine Villapiano for Phil Villapiano. I love Raider Rick. He's on fire. I want to hear what you guys have.
Vegas to wake up in the morning and say, oh, my father, who art in heaven, we hate the Chiefs.
There you go. Phil Villapiano's anti-Chiefs prayer. We got to love that. But anyway, call in 702-365-9200. What would you name at the new Raiders restaurant at the end? What would you name a dish after either a famous Raider player, great Raider great, or after a play? You could do, it could be a dessert. It could be an entree. It could be an appetizer. It can be a drink. Call in. Let me know. You're with Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Scott Gulbranson with you on this Tuesday, Raider Nation Radio. This is Silver and Black today. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate that. This is, of course, your channel, your station. If you're a Raider Nation card-carrying citizen, this is where you go to hear football, sports, especially we go in the offseason. We'll get some sports into it. We're going to get to a call here in a minute. But I got to read some of these great names that are coming in with items for the Raiders restaurant at the M. This is really killer stuff. I have a listener who DM'd me these, and I love these. You ready? Flores fajitas. Yes, of course, for Tom Flores, which is in the news with the Hall of Fame voting today. How about the Ron mixed salad? Yes, this is, you guys are awesome. You guys are creative. And then the Howie Long Island iced tea. I like that's a good one. And then a couple more, and then I'll get to the phones here in a second. Raider Rick is on fire. I told you about a couple of his before, and there's a couple other ones that are really good that I want to read to you. The Dave Casper Ghost Pepper Wings, right? Like that one? The Ted Hendricks Mad Stork Wings. And then Kenny King Jr. had this one, which I like too. Oysters on the Art Shell. You guys are awesome, man. I'll tell you what. And then Raider Rick with a drink, the Bill Romanowski Dirty Martini. Oh, Raider Nation is awesome. You guys are just great. But keep your ideas coming either on Twitter. Give us a call, 702-365-9200. You can tweet them at me. You can call in. Whatever you want to do, we'll read them on there. This is really good stuff on this Tuesday. Gets my week going. I love it. All right, we're going to go back out on the phone lines. Our good friend down in Los Angeles is Gangster Raider. Gangster Raider, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, what's happening, y'all?
Uh-oh. Good. They're not at... Hey, what's the sirens, man? Where are you at?
I'm at the DMV, standing outside the line.
I gotcha.
Yeah, truck going by. But I was going to say, I was so worried about the Chargers hiring Eric Bieniemy as their head coach, but they dropped the ball and hired some other fool, which is typical Charger tradition. You know what I'm saying? Dropping the ball. Because think about it. Drew Brees could have been in our division all these years if the Chargers wouldn't have been the Chargers. You know what I'm saying? And now they didn't hire Eric Bieniemy. They hired this other bum. You know what I'm saying? So I'm feeling good because we would have had to deal with Kansas City 2.0 and with the Chargers, and they got a defense. Imagine if Kansas City had a defense like the Chargers have. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I'm very happy that they didn't hire Eric Bieniemy. And I'm starting to lean into the Gus Bradley hiring for us, even though I wanted Raheem Morris from Atlanta. But he's a black guy, so I knew it was a long shot. You know, a black guy getting a job in the NFL is a long shot nowadays. It's got a cop in the shoulders that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm starting to warm up to the Gus Bradley hire, even though he's another recycle, you know, one of them guys. But anyway, I don't agree with Rob Marinelli saying that we need to get rid of Rob Marinelli, let Gus Bradley bring in his own defensive line guy, because his defensive line way better than what Rob Marinelli did this year with us. You know what I'm saying? And also, I want to know your opinion, because the boy on Diddy Fonsior on the other side of coming after y'all, he claims that Cleveland Correll improved this season, and I say he did. You know what I'm saying? He played less games this season, less sacks. He had less tackles. He had less tackles for loss. Only thing he had more this year was more forced fumbles. He had 2 forced fumbles this year. We had only none last year. So I don't understand how your boy Denny can say Cleveland Correll played better this year. What's your opinion?
Well, it's a little bit of a loaded question. I'll answer you, and I don't necessarily agree 100% with Vinny. I think he played better at certain times and showed improvement in certain areas, but he wasn't consistent. And I think that's part of the issue, right, that you're hitting on. And to me, you know, you need more out of him. And so you're right. I think, look, you have to let young players develop, but he's going to go into a year this year where you have to really see it. The Raiders should supplement that defensive line to start out with, and I think that's what he'll do. So we'll see what happened with that. But they obviously need to get more help up front, and I think they will. But as always, Gangster Raider, thanks for your call, man. We'll talk to you real soon. By the way, you know, he talked about the Chargers hiring Brandon Staley as the head coach, and he's a defensive coach. When everyone thought they were going to go the other way and go for Dable or Bieniemy because of the young quarterback, Justin Herbert, who was named Rookie of the Year today. And the Brandon Staley also tried to hire away Kevin O'Connell, who is the offensive coordinator of the Rams, and the Rams have blocked the interview. They will not allow him to talk to the Chargers. So there you go. We talked about Smith leaving the Raiders to go to the Chargers as the new run game coordinator. Brandon Staley was trying to get the offensive coordinator for the Rams to come over with him. That's O'Connell. And the Rams said no. So you can't do it. All right, we're going to get one more call in here before the break. It is Raider Dave up in Denver. Raider Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you? You guys talk much about Kyle Sloter coming to the Raiders?
No.
I guess that means that Q won't be impressed. He's always crabbing about, and for that matter, Gangster Raider, too, always crabbing about, let's get somebody besides Carr, let's get a young quarterback. Well, if anybody remembers or could look back, Kyle Sloter was lighting the world on fire as a backup quarterback in the preseason about what, 3 seasons ago?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
But he's been
the Raiders see in him. Maybe you could tell me.
I don't know. You know, when you sign those futures contracts, you know, they're little more than a, hey, let's just bring this kid in and see what he's got. If he shows us something, there's very little risk for them to do that, right? When the day he signed him, we talked about it on the show briefly, and the fact that he had been around quite a bit and all that. And you just don't know, right? And we don't know what the Raiders are going to do at the backup quarterback position.
He's probably more mobile than Peterman.
You would think so. And so to me, maybe that's what they're doing. I think they saw a little bit of what the offense can do with a more mobile quarterback. That is nothing against Derek Carr. That does not mean Derek Carr is going anywhere. I'm just saying Marcus Mariota came in.
Mariota either. Right.
It's right.
Nothing against Mariota, but what they realize is maybe Mariota, with just even one instance where he played, can show that he's back from injury and could be trade bait before the draft.
Exactly. Could be trade bait. And if not, they either keep him if they want to pay all that money, or they let him go and they're looking for somebody who's going to be there with similar. Now, it might not be him, but it's the opportunity, I think, for the Raiders to start to make the offense more dynamic. And you can do that. I mean, you look at what these teams are doing that have two quarterbacks on the roster. I mean, New Orleans always comes up. You saw what they did with Jameis Winston the other day as well, even though he threw a long pass. My point
is, check out what the Chiefs did with Henny.
With Henny, right. Yeah. So you have to constantly kick the tires on guys, and especially a guy like that. He is, again, little risk from a money perspective. It's a futures contract, so it doesn't say he's going to make the roster or any of that stuff. So you take a look at him in camp and see what he does, and he might be gone quickly, or he might stick around. You never know who'll surprise you.
Yeah, this is not a Matt Flynn scenario, and I'm sure he wasn't as fast as our quarterback that ran 100 yards once not too long ago. But still, I think it's a good move. I think it's a move that's better than Peterman. And I believe that if they were to hang on to Peterman and let Mariota go, at least they still have another mobile quarterback in the quarterback stable.
Yeah, and I agree. I think they'll actually go get another young quarterback either later in the draft, or see who's out there free agency-wise too, just to kick the tires and see how it goes. So, well, it should be a fascinating offseason, that's to say the least.
Yeah,
all right, Raider Dave, man, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet.
All right, man, take care now. Raider Dave in Denver. Okay, it's time for the top of the hour break. When we come back, Hugh Myers will jump in with me for the next 2 segments. That's right, we get a little extended time with Q today. We're going to talk about the coaching search around the NFL, Eric Bieniemy, diversity hiring, all that stuff, as well as some Raider-specific topics and the Q-tip coming up at 3:20. You're here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.